This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So I have a bit of a confession to make. Don't worry, it's nothing particularly bad. But I regularly cross roads to take a different route to avoid charity collectors in the streets. You know the type with the jingly jang. I almost found one just to bring here, just to simulate that noise. I find it really difficult, awkward even, to say no to them, especially if I know I have actual money in my purse rather than, you know, plastic card money. Because I would like to be as generous as I can every time. I feel God's called me to generosity, and I really struggle with this. But a number of years ago, it really helped me personally to hear David Flowers talk, and he's not even bribed me or anything to say this, to hear about how he and Alison had made a decision to choose what type of charities they were going to support. So they'd made a decision in advance to have a focus. And so now I have taken that on board, and I've tried to do the same. So for myself and for Matt, my husband, we really try to concentrate on giving generously where we can to charities helping people to break out of poverty, particularly charities that tell people about Jesus as they do so. So that's our focus, and I found that really, really freeing. So when I see these lovely charity collectors in the street who are really enthusiastic about the charity that they support, and rightly so, and it's a really good charity, I feel really, really torn. Torn because I want to support them and I want to encourage them in what they're doing, while inwardly knowing that I have decided that that is not where I need to be generous. And so I find myself doing a little dance. Oh, I'll cross the road here, I'll just sidestep there. And yeah, that's my confession. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you do the same, maybe for different reasons or similar ones. Or maybe you've had that job and you've seen me doing a little work around in the street, for which I apologise. But that's the reason why. It's in trying to figure out how I am generous whilst not compromising what I feel God has given me to do. So maybe you're a little bit nervous about where I'm heading with this. So let me put your mind at ease. Today we are going to talk about what the Bible says about the poor. What Jesus taught on, and I'm going to encourage us to think about how we respond both as a church and also individually. What can our practical response be, particularly in the weeks ahead, as we look to Christmas and we look to be generous to those around us? So how does that sound to you? Are you ready? Great. Let me quickly pray. Lord Jesus, we gather here to try and understand more about who you are and who you're calling us to be. So I pray that as I speak, would you speak to all of us individually? Show us what our response can be. And I pray that as we read your word in the Bible, would you draw us to you? Help us not to do a dance around you or past you like I described, but help us to listen to what you're saying to each of us here this morning. Thank you for your presence through the worship and here in this room. And I pray, would you remain with us? Help us to keep on sensing your presence, and for the kids in their groups as well. Would they sense your presence here this morning? Amen. So do any of you have a favourite bit of the Bible? Maybe a bit that just kind of follows you around and you think it's the same for everyone? You know, that everyone's hearing this passage, but really they're not. It's just you who keeps coming up again and again. For me, one word that keeps coming up, which I discovered recently, isn't the same for everyone, is injustice. That word follows me around. Everywhere I go, that's what I see when I learn about Jesus. So for me, one of the Bible passages that, again, keeps coming up again and again is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. And if you have a Bible with you, I'd really encourage you to find it. And if you don't have a Bible and you need one, if you pop your hand up, one of the welcome team will bring you a Bible. And if you don't own your own Bible, there are Bibles here that you can take away as a gift from us, or if you'd like to contribute, you can put some money in the donations box at the minute. So if you'd like a Bible, do pop your hand up and I'll see if anyone needs one. So Luke chapter 4, 14 to 21. Here we meet Jesus early on in his career. His career in ministry and doing the signs and wonders of God rather than his carpenter career. He kind of took a bit of a detour. If you read more about Jesus, that will make a bit more sense. He was in Nazareth, which was his hometown. And he was invited to read to them from the scripture. Now, I was trying to think of who that might be in Leeds. Maybe it's like the Brownlee brothers coming to give us a cycling lesson. Or, you know, it's like, oh, this is he's from here. This is the Jesus we've heard about doing amazing things in the area. And now he's come back home. And so everyone's there expectantly, waiting, wondering, watching, whether they agreed with him or not, I expect, just wanting to see, what's this local boy? Who is he? What's this all about? So he is invited to read for them from the scripture in the local synagogue, which would be a normal place for him to be in. And he, I expect, could have picked any passage to read from, but he was handed the scroll from Isaiah, and he goes to a very particular place and starts reading a very particular passage. A passage that is all about the Messiah, the coming king. About someone who's going to bring God's love and mercy, about a new kingdom. He is reading, and in his reading, he fulfills the prophecy written about in Isaiah. So Luke 4, 14 to 21, let me read it. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, I don't know if you've ever read that before. It might be very familiar or completely new. It may not have any impact at all on you, and that's absolutely fine. But for me, something about that passage is like a spine-chilling thing. When I read it and picture that setting, my heart rate increases. I'm often moved to tears, and I keep coming back to it again and again and again. It's one of my favourite passages to read and one of the most challenging passages for me to read. I almost love it and hate it because of how I know I need to respond to it. It's so difficult. So who do you think you identify with that in that scene? Are you one of the listeners? Do you picture yourself in the synagogue, kind of looking, where's Jesus? If that tall person would just move, I could have a better view. Maybe you would class yourself or you find solace in the poor. You think, Jesus, where are you, Jesus? Where is the good news you're bringing me? Perhaps you consider yourself in need of healing and you're waiting for your health to be restored. Maybe you're there as the attendant. You hand over the scroll. You're playing your part and then you step back. Or maybe you can identify a bit with Jesus himself and what he's saying in the standing up and reading. I'm going to read it to you again, and I encourage you to really listen out and just imagine yourself in the scene and think about who do you identify with. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus came to bring good news, really good news. He brings with him God's power and presence, what we described as God's kingdom. And if you identified with the poor or those in need of healing in this story, then I want you to know that Jesus came for you. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Jesus brings restoration. Jesus brings reconciliation and healing where he goes. For me, at reading through this passage, I really identify with what Jesus is declaring. And I try to imagine what my life would look like if I can be someone who does declare good news to the poor, who does bring God's kingdom wherever I go. And I believe that as a church, that's what we're called to. We are called to bring God's kingdom here in Headingley, as we go out into our homes, our place of work and study, into our communities, wherever we go. That is what we bring. That is what we carry. We want to be good news to those around us, because we bring Jesus with us. We want to pray for healing. We want to follow God's lead and see what he's doing. We want to seek freedom in people's lives. I had a very surreal conversation this morning on the way here with my son, who's 4, and my niece, who's also 4. And they were talking about superpowers. And I said to them, "You know what? You're both superheroes, because you carry with you God's power. God's kingdom power is in you, and you can do anything with Jesus." And they both got very excited, but it was new news for them. They hadn't thought of it that way. They knew that Jesus did these things, but they hadn't appreciated that their little 4-year-old selves could do these things, could do the things they've seen Jesus do. I don't know about you, I forget that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that's there when I pray for someone. With all my inadequacies, including pronunciation today, and all my brokenness and all my doubts, that's the same power we use. And that's what I think God is drawing us into as a church, to see God at work, to bring God's power wherever we go, to be bearers of the kingdom in our communities. Now, I often feel really unsure of what does following Jesus really look like, day in, day out? How do I do this? How am I good news to the poor? How do I see people being healed? What is my response? Like with the charity collectors, there is an overwhelming need out there. And I'm only one person, and I know that I cannot do everything or be everything to everybody. There's such a tug on my time, my resources, my own capacity to cope with situations. And when I find myself in that place where it's too much, and sometimes around this Children of Need season, it feels like too much. I feel torn in every direction, or I feel like a Scrooge for not giving to everything or everyone who asks me. I go back to this passage and I just focus on Jesus. What are you saying? Who are you calling me to be? I try and understand that I can demonstrate Jesus' love to the world around me in a whole variety of ways. And I sit myself down and I give myself a bit of a talking to. And I read this for me. So the Spirit of the Lord is on me, Anne, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. I give myself permission. I'm allowed to do this. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, even when I don't see it, to keep trying, to keep listening to what God is prompting me to do, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And I'm encouraged that God's years aren't my years. But what a huge mandate we're faced with. Jesus' shoes are certainly far too big for me to fill. I've got quite small feet. They're massive. And so, as with our charity giving, I've focused it down today and in my life. I'm just starting on the first little sentence. To proclaim good news to the poor. A little sentence with huge implications. If you were here at the start of October, when we were sharing stories of how God had been speaking to us about the next steps at the end of our month of prayer and fasting, you may remember me sharing something God has really been speaking to me about. And I shared how I felt that as a church we had a role to play in eradicating food poverty within a mile of this building. You know, just a small thing. When you plot within a mile of this building on a map, it is huge. But that's what I thought God said. There was something about a mile. I just feel that there's something in our next steps as a church of becoming ever more known as a place where those in need can find love and acceptance, can know God's grace, and can receive some really practical help. Matt's going to talk more, my husband, in a couple of weeks about how we do that without actually hurting people in the process. How do we actually help people get to the more of the root of what's going on? So with food poverty, how do we get to the bottom of that rather than just handing out food all the time? So we'll talk more on that in a couple of weeks. But how do we offer practical help whilst sharing the truth about who Jesus is? And I feel that the two go hand in hand, and that's one of the things I see us doing more and more as we establish ourselves in Headingley. Now I'm going to send around some lists now. But for those of you, these are just pieces of paper for you to take home with you, which I'll explain. For those of you who've been around a little while, you'll remember that each Christmas we try and do a really practical thing in reaching out to the communities that we're in and demonstrating God's provision and God's blessing at Christmas. What we've called being God's love in action. And this year is no different. So I'd like to invite each of you to respond today. This is a really practical response today. By taking away these lists, they have a bit of a shopping list on them for you to, let's call it a reference, suggestion list. And over the next few weeks, we're going to see if you can buy any of the items on the list, if God asks you to. Okay, this isn't me asking. I'll explain that more in a moment. And we're going to bring them back on the 11th of December at our carol services, morning and evening. You might have seen this idea on social media of a reverse Advent. If you're on Facebook, there's some posts flying around of this idea of a reverse Advent. So instead of expecting something every day in Advent, I don't know about you, I'm quite fond of chocolate. So the thought of a piece of chocolate every day in Advent is quite a big deal for me because I don't eat a lot through the rest of the year. But instead of giving something, of being generous, of giving away, Christmas for many of us is about spending. Spending and spending and spending. About giving the very biggest and the very best presents, or perhaps of finding that one thing that is going to make somebody really happy, whether it is extravagant or not. And the number of books full of presents coming through my door is phenomenal at the minute. I feel like every shop I've ever shopped in has sent me a catalogue of something to try and tempt me to spend even more money with them. We are so consumer-driven. There is constant, constant advertising. You just have to walk past the shops outside and it's all there. This will make you special. This will be the best thing. This will complete your life. And it's lies. They won't. So we want to equip you with a way of choosing something different this Christmas. Yes, my suggestions may involve shops, but it's giving away. It's about demonstrating God's abundant generosity, but without getting into debt and without getting caught up in consumption. We choose a different way. So it might have dawned on you, it's not really the start of Advent yet, although Advent does start in November this year. But this is our launch of our reverse Advent. It's slightly earlier to give you enough time, because our carol services are mid-December. So we've frame-shifted Advent slightly forward for the sake of this. And the idea is that maybe every day, maybe every week, maybe just once, it's up to you, you collect an item, potentially off the list of suggestions or perhaps something entirely different. And you place it in a nice wrapped box. Now these are wine bottle holders, which work, or a shoebox or something, just made a little bit festive. And you put it in a box, perhaps you collect it up, maybe on your own, maybe with your housemates, maybe with your family, maybe with your small group. Again, it's open for you to interpret how you would like to. And you collect things up and we bring them back on the 11th of December. And I'm really keen to avoid having a mountain of plastic bags, hence the boxes, which will also be incredibly useful when we collect everything up and need to distribute it into the community. So they'll be pretty and useful. The list has on it things which we know are useful and which people can use and which last a long time and which we can easily give away. But the key thing I'd really like you to take away from this morning is that we're not, in previous years we've had a sign-up list and people have put their name by something and a very specific quantity of something, and we're not doing that this time because I'd like you all to listen to God. And to listen to what he's saying to you. How is he saying to you to be generous? And if you've not had experience of listening to God before, that's fine. Maybe just sit down and with your list and say, God, please make one of these things appear on the paper. And by that I mean that perhaps one word will just stand out on a page that is printed identically. And then ask God, how many should I get? And maybe one of the numbers will stand out. The numbers don't correlate to how many of each item we want. I really don't want to have, you know, only a few chocolate boxes and absolutely loads of sweets. Although that could be nice. Anyway, the numbers are just there for a little festive Advent reference. So, yeah. Then in the week after our carol services, we'll take everything that's been collected and we'll sit down again and we'll say, God, where would you like us to give these items away? Who would you like us to give them to? And we'll wait and we'll listen and then we'll do it. Now, we already know some of the people that we're going to help to support with these things that we collect up, but there will be some who we don't know yet and we'll be waiting to hear from God. And if you'd like to be involved with that, please do let me know. Even if it's the thought of listening to God and asking that terrifies you, but you'd like to just be involved in packaging or transporting things, you know, we'd love as many people as would like to be involved. It'll probably be during the day and it will probably be during the week, which I know limits it for many of you, but talk to me and we'll see what we can make happen. And if any of that isn't clear, again, just let me know. You won't be the only one asking the question and I'd like to clarify. But with our list in hand, I'd like to just invite you to stand and we'll pray. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence here with us. And in those beautiful words from Isaiah, I pray, the Spirit of the Lord is on us, the community of Leeds Vineyard. Because he has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Lord Jesus, we want to be more like you. We want to demonstrate your love and your grace to those around us. Would you stir our hearts? Would you help us to understand that this is for all of us to be involved with? And would you show each of us how we can respond? Help us to hear your voice. Help us to know what it is that we can bring this Christmas time to those around us. The Spirit of God is resting on many of you. So we're just going to wait for a moment.